Talk about content creation and clarity about the work that you're doing in the world. I call it your framework, which is the organized collection of your big ideas that you just keep coming back to create content and to create offers. Maybe it's a, you can look up my blog post about what is a framework, or I think, yeah, if you want to Google what is a framework, George Kao. You'll find my blog post about what is a framework, George Kao. So, a great question here is, and I sometimes say before I go into the question, I sometimes tell people, tell my clients, and I teach about this, like, hey, you know what? In the beginning of your business, if you solidify a framework too quickly, you might become ossified with that framework where you're like, well, it's like you need something to hold on to, and it becomes ossified, and you don't give yourself the freedom to explore as much as you would if you didn't have that initial structure. And my recommendation has usually been to, hey, listen, create content and offers on anything, everything that you're truly passionate about and that you can see yourself doing for life. And if that's the case, then you might discover, my gosh, I thought I was gonna go into this route, but really, this is working really well for my audience. And I had not known that was a possibility for me to have a true livelihood doing this thing. Thank you, George, for letting me explore instead of niching myself down to this framework so early on, which is too early because you haven't yet trained your intuition on what the market really wants. This is most of us, right? We go in our closet and we dream up what our career or our business is supposed to be, and then we like try to force it down people's throats because now we're like fully formed, and it's like, no, you haven't interacted with other human beings and the current cultural context and see what the reactions are coming back to know which direction you should go. So therefore, in the beginning stages, it's like content exploration will then inform the eventual framework, which then once the framework is adequately informed by the market response, you then, of course, the framework gets clearer and clearer over the years, and then that informs your content. Now, of course, it's you're more organized with, well, I'm going to create on these three topics, these five topics, etc. Having said that, a very insightful question, thanks to Heather Lakatos for this, which is, George, in the beginning of your journey, you said that you were creating daily videos. And if you created daily videos, did they have any framework to it? Did you have specific topics you picked? And so Heather caught me because yes, I didn't do what I didn't know about what I just taught you the last 3 minutes in the beginning. I thought I had to be fully formed to go out into the world. So what I did do was in the beginning, just like everyone taught me, come up with your niche, come up with your topics, and then go out into the world. I lucked out on the topics that I chose. So in the beginning, I said, well, I think I want to do joyful productivity. That was really my first niche, my first framework. I said, since 2008, 2009, officially when I started, like joyful productivity. I'm going to become a joyful productivity coach for life. I think back then it was called sustainable productivity, which come to think of it, might have been a better name, but whatever. I went with joyful productivity at some point. All right. So then I made content about that. I did stuff about that. And gratefully, nobody cared. Not gratefully, actually. I would have been joyfully a joyful productivity coach, but nobody cared. That's the truth of the matter. So then I said, okay, authentic marketing is another thing that I would enjoy talking about because people asked me for some help on those matters. And they talked to me for marketing help, and I always found marketing to be gross and like just devoid of deeper values that I enjoy. So I'm going to do authentic marketing. I'm going to do values-based marketing. And so I started doing that in different ways, and that did work. I chanced in on that at a time when very few people in 2009 were talking about authentic marketing, right? Because everyone was still talking about mainstream marketing. Now it's like you throw a rock and you hit another authentic marketing coach. Sorry, but back then it was rare. So because supply demand, there was demand for it, very little supply, I was able to make a career out of it early on. First year, I was able to start making almost full-time income first year, second year, full-time income for sure. So supply demand. Okay. Now, if you try to be an authentic marketing coach, you have a much harder time because there's way more supply than, yeah, there's some demand still, but it's hard to you know, come out of the noise nowadays. A third topic that I chose, I would love doing this for life, is healthy money. Like I have always enjoyed talking, being too opinionated with my friends and family about money, financial management and things like, oh, you should invest in here and don't do that and don't spend money this way and just save money this way. And I was always opinionated about that. So I said, I'd love to be a coach or a consultant or a teacher on those things. And I created content and offers about healthy money as well. And that also didn't work. Why? Supply, demand. There was already plenty of supply for healthy money stuff. Demand, people don't want to talk about money, right? So demand wasn't as high. So I couldn't make a career out of it. Couldn't sell stuff from it. So out of the three that I talked about in the beginning, one of them worked. And so you could see that I still did some experimentation. I just happened to luck on one of my three. People wanted to pay me for it. And so, and still to this day, I guess I was lazy. Again, see what happened? Ossification, right? I got ossified. I got attached to the first framework, the first meta framework that I created. You know, I had a joyful productivity framework. I had authentic marketing ideas. I had healthy money ideas. I tested these three. And I said, well, hey, that sounds like a nice trio. Why don't I? This is now my meta framework. And so 2009, I was already had these three as my framework. And still to this day, it's on my website. You look at the knowledge, it's like these three items. It's like, but no longer am I doing healthy money stuff. No one wants to pay me for it. My conscious money course is one of my worst selling courses of 21 courses. Nobody wants to buy it. Nobody wants to work with money on me, with me. Too much supply, not enough demand. And I'm not unique enough with healthy money. People are like, so what, Georgie? So, but it's still on my website. And again, I'm too attached to it. It's hard for me to let it go. So I still have like a whole bevy of articles on healthy money that nobody's like, oh, that's kind of interesting, but I'm not going to hire you for it, George. So, but joyful productivity, however, it's interesting. So joyful productivity, nobody wanted to buy anything from me for like 7 years. I kept talking about it because I couldn't help myself. That's kind of a little bit of how you know your vocation, or at least your what's the word? More like my hobby, really. It's like it's my calling, but it was basically being a monk, you know, in that regard, in that topic for 7 years. No one paid me a dime for joyful productivity. I don't care, joyful productivity, whatever that means. Okay. And then somehow year eight, year nine, people started to be interested because I talked about it. I trained them on it for 7 years without pay. Okay. Because I couldn't help it. I had to talk about it. But see, with you, I mean, not just Heather, but everybody here watching this, and it's like you got to pick enough things where it's like one of them is going to people pay you for it. But you can still talk about everything else for 7 to 10 years if you're willing to, with no payment. You could still keep making offers. I kept making offers within those years, but people didn't want to pay for it. So I had to put it as a bonus. Hey, bonus class, joyful productivity. They were happy to receive it as a bonus. They wouldn't buy it as the main program. So for 7 years, it was always a bonus, even though I tried offering it, nobody cared. And then not suddenly, I was an overnight success with joyful productivity after 7 years of constant educating my audience about it. Now joyful productivity is like rolls off the tongue for a lot of people because it took 7 years of, so I've literally said that phrase. I mean, I've lost count, right? Probably, I don't know, I wouldn't say millions of times, but at least tens of thousands of times, if not hundreds of thousands of times. I've said that phrase. I've talked about it in so much content. Out of my probably 3,000 pieces of content I've created, or 4,000, probably a third of it is joyful productivity, right? And yet it took that long. And so that's what I mean by allow yourself to explore. Notice what people want to pay you for based on supply and demand. You can think you're brilliant about talking about relationships, but what's the supply? There's everybody wants to be a relationship coach. Are you that brilliant? Are you that funny or that entertaining? You know, are you somehow that have that much credential or credibility for the demand to be reached? It's like, this is the testing we do. It's like, of course you're brilliant. But you can be brilliant in 25 different areas. You can, really. Each of you watching this, you're brilliant in 25 different areas. You could be. And you're passionate about 25 different areas if you really looked at yourself and looked at the things that you do naturally and things that come natural for you and things that you love to study and things that you love to talk to people about. That's the kind of freedom I wish I allowed myself. I mean, looking back, it's like if I had allowed myself the freedom to, for example, early on, I noticed that whenever I did a tech tutorial, it would get way more views on YouTube than any of my other videos about even authentic marketing or joyful productivity or money or whatever. My little tech, here in Google Drive, I noticed this little thing didn't work and I figured this out and it would just go viral. But I kept on avoiding that. I said, but I don't want to do that. Teenager, I don't want to do that stuff for people. I should have leaned into my joyful productivity and did way more tech tutorials because today, by now, I would have been making $10,000, $20,000 a month on YouTube doing tech tutorials, which comes so naturally for me. I'm just like, dude, this is so easy for me. It's like, any client can ask me. I'm like, come on, this is obvious to me, amazing to other people, right? That's always a clue where it's like, that's one of your strengths. So anyway, this is what I mean. It's like, be really open-minded to what the universe is, what the universe is telling you through the market for what your true livelihood is, what your authentic business is. And you're like, if you're like, wow, but I don't want to talk about that. That's too easy for me, too boring for me or whatever, like tech tutorials. Then it's you. Well, then you have a choice. You can either talk about what you love and wait 7 years. Metaphorically, I mean, for some of you, it's like 7 days and maybe you get it to work. And some of you, it's 7 weeks. Some of you, it's 7 months. For some of us, myself included, it's 7 years. So you can either talk about what you love, that there's too much supply in the market, not enough demand, and you just have to talk about it until you have a truly skilled mastery of skill in entertainment value and insights that are really unique, that rare, and of really meeting people where they're at. 7 years of practice, not surprisingly, right? 7 years. There's every 7 years, you're a different person, literally, physically, right? And so something about 7 years. Anyway, so you can either talk about what you love for 7 years and don't worry about money. No, you'll worry about money, right? For 7 years. Or you can notice people, how has this come so easy for me? And people seem to love it. And it's not as fun for me to talk about that stuff. That's where joyful productivity comes in. It's like you either love what you do that the market wants, or you do what you love that the market doesn't want, but you do it long enough where the market comes around. So I hope this is helpful. And thank you so much for asking it. And even though I said, obviously the either or, obviously real life is more complex than that. And there's always more of a spectrum in between that. So, and at the same time, it's never either or. You can always do multiple things at the same time as you continue testing. So I hope this helps. Thanks.